Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, the latter half of that verse. This is the reading of God's word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us an ear to hear your word, so that all of us will hear your word and grow in faith, grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done. Let us see who we are in heaven, now and forever, so that we may live by faith. Live according to what we believe, according to what your word tells us. We pray that all of us will be able to understand and believe and obey your word. Pour out your blessings upon us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been looking at this verse for a while. Verse 2, that is. And this verse tells us who we are in Jesus Christ. Thus, it tells us what Jesus has done, what he has accomplished for us. So, it tells us our heavenly realities that our Lord has already accomplished for us. So far, we learned that we are in Christ. That we are united to Christ in all that he has done for us. And we are the saints of God. We are the holy ones of God. And we are the faithful brethren. That we are going to be faithful to the end. And we are the recipients of the grace of God. And according to what we are looking at today, we are also recipients of peace. That we also enjoy peace with our God. And we have seen last two times, all is by the grace of our gracious God. God's grace accomplishes all things. And peace with God is also accomplished by the grace of God. Peace. This sinful world also speaks of peace. But that peace is not the peace that is in the Bible. So peace that the world speaks of is false. Because true peace is peace with God. Because all the sinners and this whole world is under God's curse because of sin. Because of sin, sinners became enemies of God. There's no peace. Because God will judge all those sinners. We need to remember that all the sinners and this world is under God's curse and God's judgment. Thus, there is no peace with God. Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, there is no peace with God until the problem of sin is perfectly solved. We see this reality from the very beginning. Beginning of history. Adam and Eve, before sin, they had perfect peace, joyful fellowship, perfect love with our God. Not only they had peace with God, but they also had peace with each other. And peace within and also peace with the creation. So before sin came in, there was no deadly floods or earthquakes or diseases and all those things that you see today. And it was like this until they sinned against God. As soon as they sinned, rather than having a joyful communion of God, they hid themselves from God in fear. Now God is only a judge to them, a fearful judge. That's why they, as soon as sin comes in, they sin, they hide. And Adam, rather than loving his wife Eve, we see Adam blaming Eve for his own sin. Peace, fellowship, and love all are now broken. Adam says, Genesis 3, verse 12, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." As if it was the woman's fault. But ultimately, he is blaming God because the woman that you have given me, she gave me that fruit and I ate. This is not the action of loving husband. Because if Adam truly loves Eve, he will try to cover her sin rather than expose it. So we see the first divorce in history, if you will. Even though they did not officially divorce, but that loving fellowship, peace between the husband and wife is broken. When we look at their children, Adam and Eve's children, we see the same reality. Peace is completely broken. Cain kills his own brother, Abel. And Cain says, when he was asked where his brother was, he said, "I don't know," even though he killed him. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And you see Cain hating God. I mean, hating him. And this hate grew and grew. And eventually the sinners kills God. When he came here as a man. This sinful world wants to disguise its history as a wonderful one. But this world's history is filled with people murdering each other. I mean, if you study, you know, European history, you're practically studying the wars, all the battles that went on in history. And so-called heroes of those wars. Even those good stories are the result of God's common grace. And this hate towards God and hate towards one another will continue in this world until Jesus comes back. And Jesus Christ will come back and judge this sinful world. And this world will be completely destroyed. There is no true peace in this world. Our world continues to speak of peace as if they could accomplish this peace. But just watch. They will continue to kill each other. And that's just how sinners are.
But see, true peace is peace with God. All other peace is not peace at all. So what if we live in so-called peace? But when we die, we'll all go to hell and we'll hate one another eternally. So what? 70 years, 80 years of peace. What is that? Ultimately, it's not peace at all. Because true peace is peace with God. The true peace comes only after the problem of sin is perfectly solved. But this sinful world, and many times even the churches, speak of the false peace. Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. But ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. They come to this sinful Israel and they say, God will bless you. God will not judge you. Speak of false peace. But God comes and judges them because of their sins. We see this all everywhere, actually, and I don't want to take too much time reading all these verses. But you could go home and read Jeremiah 23, verse 16 and 17. But let me read to you Jeremiah 8, verse 11 and 12. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed when they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought out, brought down, says the Lord. So these religious leaders, they go to this Israel, and they say, peace, peace. But God says, there is no peace. Just like some today's preacher, keep telling people, God will bless you. God will bless you. When there is no peace. When people don't know the true gospel. And they don't have this biblical faith. You keep telling that God loves them and God will bless them. That's a lie. There is no peace without Jesus Christ. Without your faith in Jesus Christ. Just nothing has been changed. This religious leader will tell people that somehow God, and between God and them there's peace, where there is no peace. It's not because you bring so much money to church, or you do this, or you do that, that you have peace with God. Even if you do so many things, there's still no peace unless you are in Christ. See, they speak peace without faith in Jesus Christ who died for our sins. They teach as if peace comes by you doing things for God. No, Bible doesn't teach that. They speak of peace without repentance of their sins. They have no intention of stopping sin. And yet, religious leaders will say, peace. God loves you. Because if God truly loves you, that means He's living in you and He's working in you, so that sinning without repentance is just not possible. That you will repent, meaning you will turn around. Of course, you might sin again, but at the moment of repentance, you really mean it. No, it's not about doing this or doing that. They deceive themselves thinking that God is pleased with them. Romans chapter 10 verse 2 says, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God." Now, having zeal for God is a good thing, but not in accordance with knowledge. Oh, they have zeal for God. They will do all these things. And yet they do not have the true knowledge. And all their works, it's not something that God is pleased with. Because the only way that we could have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Even if you get rid of this world, all the wars, and even if everyone lives in one, you know, loves one another, and these are good things, I'm not saying these are bad things, but ultimately the sinners will go to hell and hate one another eternally. So that kind of peace is useless, because it's just temporary. True peace is eternal peace and peace with God. But our God, even though this world is so sinful, our God is Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. From this sinful world, God chooses His sons, and He promises them the true peace, the peace with God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and hope." Ezekiel 37 26, "I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." And God says that He will accomplish this peace through a child who will be born. If you speak at the timeline of Old Testament, God promises this peace, and this peace will be accomplished by a child. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." And God also promises the Messiah and his kingdom. That Messiah is that child that we spoke of. And He will come, and He will establish a kingdom, and in that kingdom, eternal peace, peace with God. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 16 through 18. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. Then my people will live in peaceful habitation, and in secure dwellings, and in undisturbed resting place. And you cannot read these Old Testament passages only in terms of this world. He's not just speaking of worldly peace. Ultimately, he is not speaking of worldly peace. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 9, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. And the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy kingdom, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. Typological language showing us the reality of heaven. So in heaven, not only you will have peace with God, but also peace with all creation. The new world and everything that happens in that new world will never harm you. It's very unlike what we see, like tornadoes and flood and the earthquakes, famine. These are all result of sin. Peace is broken. Let me read to you one more verse here. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clan of Judah, from you one will go forth, me to be ruler in Israel. He's talking about Jesus Christ. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she is in labor, has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. This child who will be born will be our peace. Jesus is our peace. See, Jesus Christ comes and fulfills all these passages, all these promises of peace that you will find in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 3, we see peace offering. It is offered for the peace between God and his people and peace among men. And as you know, that sacrifice, the blood is shed. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he, Jesus, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. A chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. The wage of sin has to be paid in full. And that is what our Lord is doing on the cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect peace offering to our God. And through that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice on the cross, we have peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, the peace, the eternal peace between God and his people is now accomplished. Because God judged our sins on Jesus Christ. So Psalm 85 verse 10 says it like this, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. On one hand, righteousness. By righteousness of God, God has to punish sinners. Because the wage of sin is death, and God has to punish by death. That's his righteousness. Then what about peace? But on the cross, because of what Jesus has done, how he died on that cross bearing our sins, now righteousness of God and peace of God can kiss each other. It could coexist. Even though we still sin and we deserve his eternal judgment, but we have peace with God. Not compromising his righteousness because he did punish fully our sins. Jesus Christ is our peace. When Jesus was born, we read in Luke chapter 2 verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Thus Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God, result of what Jesus has done. But Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 through 18 says, for he himself is our peace, Jesus is, who made both groups into one and broke down the barriers of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, continuing ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Here he speaks of peace with one another. He is talking about Gentiles and Jewish people becoming one. Because Jesus, by dying on that cross, he abolished all dividing wall between the two groups. But you could apply this to you and your brothers and sisters in any ethnicity. Because when you go to heaven, you will have perfect peace with your brothers and your sisters in Jesus Christ. That you will love perfectly your brother and your sister. So the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ not only accomplished peace with God, but also peace with one another. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 says, in a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. It speaks of peace with all creation. Nothing will be able to harm you in heaven. You will be protected perfectly. It's not that, you know, in heaven you're not going to have some rock that you might, you know, stumble upon. But God's grace and his control is in a such a way that you will be perfectly protected
you will not be harmed. So you will have perfect peace with all creation.
Perfect peace is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, and He alone can give you this peace. He says in John chapter 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." He gives you this peace. The true peace is Jesus Christ. There is no peace apart from Jesus Christ. And even if the world speaks of peace in all, whatever they might be speaking of, if it is apart from Christ, that's not true peace. At best, it's just temporary and it's not even perfect. Actually, apart from Christ, you need to realize that there is no peace, even if you feel there is. Your feeling is contrary to the truth. That's why Jesus says, Matthew in chapter 10, verse 34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. He brings peace to His people, but not to this world. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and daughter against his mother, and mother-in-law against his mother-in-law, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemy will be the member of his household." Because of Jesus Christ, the members of household, they will become enemies. Oh, if you're born in non-Christian home and you say, "Okay, I'm a Christian," and you start really living like a Christian, guess what? You're going to have a very hard time. Persecutions will come. Because whatever peace you might think that you had is apart from Christ. Only in Jesus Christ true peace is given. God said even in the very beginning, Genesis, He says, "I will put enmity between these two groups." And He divides group into two, in Christ and apart from Christ. It's not in terms of how world divides people. It's not about how much you make money, like classes or ethnicity or female or male. It's not like that. But are you in Christ or are you not in Christ? And there's enmity that God has put in. Because only true peace exists in Jesus Christ. And peace is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us so that we would believe and enjoy this peace. And He also accomplished peace within. I mean, if you're so honest about yourself, if you truly examine yourself, I mean, I could tell you, I find all kinds of contradiction within me. Oh, some things I find, it just doesn't make any sense. Paul even said, "I do things that I don't want to do, and I do not do things I want to do." There's struggle inside of me.
And it's only when I go to Jesus Christ, I can have peace. Peace within me. Other than Jesus Christ, you will always find contradiction. And you don't even know who you are. You don't even know why you do certain things. And you know that you shouldn't do, but you do. You know you should do, but you don't. What's going on within us? But there is no peace. So non-Christians, they just kind of, you know, this conscience is telling them something, but they ignore it. They just suppress that. So they could have fake peace within them. But that's not peace at all. This contradiction I will fight until I die. But I have hope, I have certainty that when I do die in heaven, I will have perfect peace even within myself. I will never find contradiction in me. And even now, in Christ, everything makes sense to me. I don't know, when I was young, oh, my life was not that peaceful. It's just constant thinking and struggle. And I could not understand myself. So what do you do? Just don't think. That's why today's generation, if I could blame them about certain things, it's about them not thinking. They don't want to think. But just sit down in a quiet place. I don't know, maybe you could turn up the light, it might help you, I don't know, but really think about how you are. And ask, all that, does it make sense to you? That what you do, what you don't do, what you think, what you don't think, and just, you know, what are you? How are you? Our best thing is just don't think about it. Yeah, I remember all my college years, just dressed in black, just to reflect the darkness that I was in. It's complete darkness. Nothing makes sense. And yet, in Jesus Christ, you have perfect peace. That I believe that even all the contradictions within me, Jesus Christ has made it. No more contradiction. And one day, there will be no contradiction in any of us. Because this peace, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says of this peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And this is so true. That He guards our hearts and minds so that we may experience this peace, which surpasses all our comprehension.
Jesus Christ is our peace. In Him we have peace with our God. We have peace with one another, peace within, peace with all creation. And this peace, this perfect peace, this eternal peace, this heavenly peace have been perfectly and completely accomplished and is given to us. This peace is our heavenly reality, that it is already ours in Jesus Christ. This is why we come to God, and we say we come to God, and we say we meet Him, and yet we do without any fear. Oh, think about it. If you are a sinner, and if you are truly meeting God, and God is a judge who has to punish you for your sins, are you going to come to Him without fear? He could send you to hell at this moment, and you are able to come to Him without fear? Only reason that we come without fear is that we have peace with Him. That He is and I am no longer enemies to one another. And He doesn't judge me because He has judged me in Jesus Christ. We have perfect peace. And I could come and see His smiling face through the world, of course, not my physical eyes. And I know He's smiling at me and smiling at you. Because of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, we must enjoy this peace and witness this peace. Let us always remember how this peace was accomplished, though. As we enjoy this peace, let us remember how it is accomplished. On the cross, because of our sins, because He bore our sins, Jesus' peace with His Father was completely broken. On that cross, the Father and Son, there was no peace between them. Because God the Father poured out wrath, the judgment of hell upon His own Son. Peace within the Trinity was broken. And I say that with hesitation, because I wonder if I could express it like that. The Trinity is broken. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So because that peace between the Father and the Son was broken on the cross, now you have peace with God that will never be broken. Even your sins that you will commit today and the future will not break this peace. But I don't want to say peace when there is no peace. Of course you need to repent of your sins. You need to depend on Jesus Christ to have that confidence. How joyful this is. How blessed we are to have peace with God. Because of what our Lord has done and accomplished, we are now invited by God Himself to participate in peace among the Trinity. Yes, where you have been invited. So think about God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, how perfect peace is among them. Now you are invited to participate in that peace. It is amazing. Every single time I do this, before, you know, as worship begins, I raise my hand to reflect that I am doing this, representing God, because He uses me as such. And I say to you, grace and peace. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you come to worship and you hear that very first, as you worship, you, as you hear, just realize how blessed you are. You should be actually astonished that what you actually deserve is God's judgment, because you've been sinning, you know, last 6 days. You come here and you expect God to punish you, but yet He says, peace. This is how blessed we are. And all this blessing is ours because of Jesus Christ, what He has done, what He has accomplished. He loves you. He's so pleased with you in Christ because He knows how you are going to be in Christ. And spiritually, you have already become. That is why He's so pleased with you in Jesus Christ. Enjoy this peace. Be very happy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for this peace that we have with You. Perfect peace with God. That God pours out His grace and You pour out Your grace and Your love. We have perfect fellowship with You in Jesus Christ. Let us praise our God, You, forever and ever, for all that You have done for us. We love You, God. And let us show that love that we have for You through the life that we live here on earth. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.